So today we're starting Sif Gimel in Simen Kuf Yud. So we're just pretty much trying to go in order over here, but you come across some really, really amazing sugyas that are relevant to Maisa. I haven't read it yet, but I printed out Rav Savlovsky's notes. Thank you for sending it in that way, because every other time I tried it, it was always like there were Hebrew words are in the wrong place.
Yeah, changed to PDF.
Yeah, so you knew how to do that, and I appreciate that, and that's why I printed out your version instead of just from the Google. Okay, anyway, so we move on to Sif Gimel right now. Sif Gimel is challenging, right? There are parts that are challenging. The Mechaber and the Ramah are the Mechaber and the Ramah. It's not particularly challenging. Then they have the Shach, Sif Katni and Dalid, which is really, I don't want to say the most important Shach in Simen Kuf Yud, because you know, there is Sveka coming up, but you know, the most important shach that you'll actually get all the way through in Simen Kuf Yud is this shach. So the Mechaber writes that you have Teisha Chanuyos. You know, this is a famous case. The Gemara talks about Teisha Chanuyos Mochros Basar Shchuta Va'achas Mocheres Basar Nevela. 9 stores sell kosher meat, 1 sells non-kosher meat. V'lakach Me'achas Men Ve'en Yadu Me'ez Men Lakach. You bought meat from one of the stores, you do not remember which store you bought the meat from. Nine of them sell basar shchuta, so shouldn't you say rov? No, there's a klal kol kavua kemechzal maksadami. Since you bought it from the store, that's kavua, and that's therefore considered a regular safek, a 50-50 safek. Safek darais luchumra. Aval basar nimtzu b'shuk. O biyado vid kochavim. But if you find basar out in the shuk, lav dafka that it's on the street, who would pick up meat from the street and eat meat off of the street? No, they have these like street vendors. So yeah, you have a hot dog stand that's out in the shuk. So that's not kavua. He rolls it back home when he's done. So you have a hot dog stand that's out in the shuk. Or miyad ovid kochavim. Mutter, kivin sharova chanuyos machus basu shchuta. So then it would be mutter, because the case the Shulchan Aruch is obviously that it's out of the store, that it came from the store originally and is now has now been moved from the store and brought out to the shuk. Maybe it's like the hot dog guy at the stadium, right? The store. Let's say you were to visit a stadium that were to have 90%. Kosher hot dog places and 10% not kosher hot dog places, and the guy going around, you know, selling the hot dogs picks them up from the vendor, from the place itself. So you're buying it from that guy. So then you follow the rove, because called the parish meruba parish. Good, called the parish meruba parish zel din Torah. Aval cham masru avli shekol shochtum kol mochrim Yisrael. Nevertheless, the Chum say it's awesome, which we'll get back to maybe. So a guy buys a sandwich from a store, doesn't remember where he bought it, even if he was in Bnei Brak, and most of the stores in Bnei Brak, I would imagine, are kosher stores. Sveika lahachmir, you have to be machmir. No svara, right? I remember when I was in yeshiva, I think Shana Aleph, the guys discovered this rule for the first time, kol kavua kemechzal maksadami, and they couldn't, they were hacking all day on what the svara might be. there's no svara. It's not statistical. It's exeris hakasav. Okay, similar to savik tuma brishus ram or savik tuma brishus yachid. You can hack all day. What the svara is, you're not going to find. So the shach Sif Katan Tesvav just points out, before we get to the challenging shach, hachi alfinim bava kamadaf nem dalid parakam tuksubastav tesvav mikra dva arav lo vekam prat lazarik evan lechaburas anashim sham dusham tes Yisrael v'chadakum. Right, from the pasuk of arav lo vekam, that if you throw a rock into a group where there are a group of people where there are 9 Jews there and 1 ovid kochavim, that you're not going to be chayiv misa mishum tesavim nefashos lah. They're all kavua in their location. You threw the rock into their location. So when you killed somebody, we assume it's a 50-50 suffix. And something the pashas lahakel. So on you, who might be chayiv misa, we're going to say that not you, the thrower, the guy who threw the rock, who might be chayiv misa, we're going to say something the pashas lahakel, that we're going to be makel on him, because it's mechzal mechzal v'da. Says the Shach, very important, kol kavua is neither a kula nor a chumra. Sometimes it works out as a kula, sometimes it works out as a chumra. Kigon, teschanus mochros basar nevela, ve'echad basar shchuta. You have nine selling nevela meat, and one is selling shchuta meat. V'lakach v'enad demezmen lakach, havi kemechsal mechsa, v'lo asar lishum sveika. Meaning, that doesn't sound like a real nafkamina. It's going to be asr anyway. But is it asr b'toras vada or is it asr b'toras safik? So it's only asr b'toras safik because it's 50-50. V'larmin davi kiruba. Hakramin behedya perakam duksubashan. Now, where does it really chapa nafkamina? For real, for real. Where does it chapa nafkamina? Let's say the isr in question is an isr d'rabana. Right? So if the isr in question is an isr d'rabana, you have nine chanuyos that sell basar. What was the case? Nine chanuyos sell basar nevela, and one sells basar shkuta. So if you're going to treat it like a rove, you have to assume nevela midrabanan, right? They sell basar nevela midrabanan, not nevela midarai. So they sell something that's also midrabanan. So if you're going to go basar the rove, so then you're not allowed to eat it. But if you're going to say that it becomes a suffix, so then it becomes suffix rabanan lakula, and then you could be mekel. So when the mechaber says at the end, aval chachamim asruhu, that the Chum make an Aser, even though all the Shochtim and all the Mokrim are Yisrael, and the Shach and Sivkan Chav points out that he's talking about a different halach over there. He's really referring to the Sugya of Basra Shenesalim in Ayin. So that line of the Mechaber is not really so relevant to us, because we paskin Basra Shenesalim in Ayin is Mutter. We don't paskin Basra Shenesalim in Ayin. You get a lot of Shailas about Basra Shenesalim in Ayin, which is kind of funny, because, you know, for the Ashkenazi world, it doesn't exist. So there is a separate halacha that people call basar shenesalim min ha'ayin, which is not basar shenesalim min ha'ayin, which is that there are certain things that require, some food that is commonly treif needs a simen. When it's being delivered by a guy, you're choshish that he might switch it out for something else, or things that are particularly sensitive need a double simen. Three things that need a double simen: chatichas dag, basar, and yayin requires a double simen. Four things, actually, tcheles, but as far as food stuff is concerned, right, that's the simen is chavis. As long as you don't call it dag, you call it chatichas dag, so the simen works, right? Chatichas dag is the ches, basar, yayin, and tcheles. Those are the four things that require a double simen when you buy it. You ever wonder why the packaging for your tcheles, when you buy your tcheles, is like so tedious? It's that's why, because tcheles was something that was very often counterfeited, because it was much cheaper to use indigo dye, to use plant indigo. So you need to have, and even the current chelas, people have found people ripping them off, people trying to sell fakes under something, packaging that looks similar to their packaging. So you need to have a very recognizable seal that it's in fact their product. So those are the things that require a double sim. That's not basar shenesalim min ha'ayin. Basar shenesalim min ha'ayin means that a chashash and an orev took it. Not that a guy, a non-Jewish delivery guy, brought it to you from your Chinese food from the local kosher Chinese place. You know, it used to be on Central Avenue. There were two stores across the street from each other. There was Wak Tov and there was Good Wak. So Wak Tov was kosher. Good Wak, which probably is where Wak Tov got their name, Good Wak was not kosher. Right? My friends from a certain high school not far from there used to say that Good Wak had much less crowds, cheaper food, and so you order Chinese food from Wak Tov. How do you know that the guy didn't switch it out for Good Wak and bring you something from Good Wak instead? So that's what you need. You need simanim when it comes to food delivery. Basar shenesalim min ha'ayin is different. Basar shenesalim min ha'ayin is that no one has access to it, but a bird might have come and dropped a piece of meat and taken another piece of meat. That's basar shenesalim min ha'ayin. We pass in basar shenesalim min ha'ayin is mutter. It's machlokas. Rav holds basar shenesalim min ha'ayin is asur. We hold basar shenesalim min ha'ayin is mutter. So any unguarded meat, Sfardim are going to be machmir about, Ashkenazim are going to be mekel. So that's what the mechaber over there. Aval chacham masru, when you find meat in the shuk, aval pi shekola shochtim v'kola mochrim Yisrael. Even though all the shochtim and all the mochrim are Yisraelim, why? No, what could have happened? Basar shenesalim min ha'ayin. Right? That's what he's referring to over there. That's what the Shach says. That's not really... what I want to get to over here. The big issue over here is defining the term kavua, right? We made a very clear distinction between that which is kavua and that which is parsh. Kol kavua is kamech tzal matzah, kol davar zmeru parsh. What determines kavua, what determines parsh? So Taisus and Gittin, Daf Samach Dalid, and other places in Shas, says that the klal is, it's never formulated this way in the Gemara as far as I know, but the Rishonim all assume this way, that in order for something to be kavua, it needs to be nikar bimakomo. It needs to be that in its original location, it's recognizable for what it is. It has to be nikar bimakomo to be called kavua. For example, in Simon Kuf Yudalit Si'if Yud, Shulchan Aruch gives a very simple case. A person is going out to the market or the street vendors to buy pickled food, which is almost always kosher, let's assume, right? Except sometimes they would add wine or something to make it not kosher. So he has to figure out if he can be so meich that what he had is kosher. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Kol zman shelo yadua ken she'irvu bo, talina lekula shemelo irvu. If he didn't know that they mixed in wine, you could be tola lekula that they probably didn't mix in wine, and the same is true by all Yisrum Drabanan. However, im yadua shemiksav dechavim nosim bo yayin and miksasamei nosim yayin. But if you know for sure that some put wine and some don't, azin basam rubish called the parish rub parish. Aval asu liknos meyam bibateyam the kol kavua kamechsal mechsedani. You can buy from them if it's called the parish rub parish if they're out on the street, but to go into their homes and buy from them, even though the majority of them do not mix in any wine, so then you're going to say kol kavua kamechsal mechsedani. Ah, but there's no hashkacha. They never heard of hashkacha. It didn't exist yet, right? Meaning they knew certain foods were kosher and certain foods were not kosher, and that's what they would buy. So the Shach says, sorry, not only homes, stores also would be considered kavua. Meaning kavua doesn't have to be somebody's house. So in contemporary times, for example, it used to be that most glycerin was vegetable glycerin. So if you buy it where they make it, you'd have to say kol kavua, because where they make it, that's nikar b'makomo. But if you buy it in a vending machine or something, that's called a parish. The question really becomes, what if you buy it in neither? Not where they make it, nor in a vending machine, but in a store that sells it, like by the retailer. So Pashto says that's also called the parish. That may not be kavua. Meaning in the way that stores are set up nowadays, where they're getting deliveries from other places, so it could be that, we're going to get into the details of that, it could be that the store itself is not considered kavua. It depends whether it's nikar b'makomo. Meaning, someone sent out an order of, some manufacturer, Geffen or whatever, one of the from manufacturers sent out a kosher Pesach line of, what's your favorite kosher Pesach food? Kosher Pesach line, I think yesterday the big scandal was about, someone sent me about, not almond milk, one of these fake milks. And the Hashkacha then put out a notice. It says kosher for Passover, it's not kosher for Passover. And then later the OU said, it is. So, whatever. But they sent out a whole thing, and it goes to, so 90% of what they sent out is kosher. When it was made in the store, maybe at some point, whatever they have left in the factory, they know is not kosher, but it's already gone out to the stores, and none of the stores know what they got delivery of. They don't know if they got the kosher stuff or the not kosher stuff. So because I buy in the store that's called kavua, no, it's not called kavua, it was never nikar b'makomo. No one in that store ever knew if what they had was kosher or not kosher. So if it's not nikar b'makomo, maybe it's not going to be called kavua. So the Mati Yehonasan says over there, alluding to our Shach and Sivkat and Yadalid, which we're going to really try to get into, that if in the place of origination you could have found out, had you gotten there when the guy was making it, that's called Nikar B'Makomo. Meaning it doesn't mean that you have to still be able to find out. Let's say you walk in 5 minutes too late, and now it's not Nikar and no one knows, or there's no one there that you're allowed to trust that knows. But had you walked in 5 minutes earlier in that place, in that very same place, you would have been able to identify it. That's also called Nikar B'Makomo. And therefore, whatever dinu kol kavua kamechsal mechsedani. Chazanish discusses kelim made in a factory and then sold in a store. Right? Let's say a frum Jew owns a store. So he doesn't remember now which glasses came from where. Because let's say he has manufacturers that are Jewish and manufacturers that are not Jewish. So the Jewish manufacturers of the glass kelim, the kelim are not going to require tevila. The non-Jewish manufacturers of the glass kelim, the kelim will require tevila. So what do you do if you run a store and it doesn't come in boxes? You know, in some store, when you go to like Bed Bath and Beyond or Amazing Savings, everything's in box, right? But you go to some of these nice home goods stores and they just have a whole bunch of glasses out, and you could buy the glasses off the shelf like that. Drinking glass, I'm talking about, not like, right? And you could buy them off the shelf that way. So the guy himself has no idea where they came from. He has Jewish manufacturers, non-Jewish manufacturers. So Chaznish points out, in such a case where the frum Jew who owns the store doesn't know which glasses came from where, since when he received the delivery of them, he knew where they came from, because he knew where he was getting the delivery from, so that's kavua, because that's called nikar bim koma. But right now, it's not nikar bim koma. That's good enough. It was nikar bim koma, according to that Mati Yonasan. Right? According to that Rabbi Yonasan, it doesn't have to be nikar bim koma adayin. It has to have been nikar bim koma in this makom where it is right now. If a mumar or non-Jew owns the store, a mumar and a non-Jew don't have any nemanos, so then it's never nikar bim koma. Nikar bim koma means that a Jew who has nemanos has to have had that nikar bim koma. That's the klal that the Mati Yonasan says. So essentially, Mati Yonasan, so just to chazer over quickly, kavua versus parish, that we're familiar with. It's not a kula, not a chumra. It could be sometimes be a kula, sometimes be a chumra. Comes along the Balei HaTosfos. Definition of kavua is not that it's sitting and not moving. Definition of kavua is nikar b'makomo, that it was recognizable in its place of, you can know what it was in its place where it is right now, where it originated. Now, the placey, the Mati Yonasan, expands nikar b'makomo, that even if it once was nikar b'makomo, even though right now it's no longer nikar b'makomo, that's also called kavua. Here's where it gets a little confusing. Rabbi Reisman gave this unbelievable example. Quicken Loans. You heard of the Quicken Loans scandal? So Quicken Loans is a major lender. It's owned by a fellow by the name of Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert is a Jew. And it's not like, you know, he doesn't really own it, a publicly traded company, he just works 70% of the company. He owns 70% of the company. And everyone knows he's a Jew, and, you know, I mean, he's a guy who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers and, like, half of the city of Detroit, and, like, you know, he's I think the Pistons also, I think he owns maybe, something like that. I don't know. No, he wouldn't own the Pistons also, but some other team. He's involved in a different sport, I think. Maybe you find it online, I'm sure. Anyway, so he's a guy. So Quicken Loans is a very convenient way to get a mortgage, and all the Yidden love to get their mortgages with Quicken Loans, apparently. So there was a major ribbis problem that came up, and every year they put out notices and advertisements in the Jewish newspapers, you know, in Yiddish or whatever, don't get a loan with Quicken Loans, it's a problem of ribbis or whatever. And every year, yeah? The Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay, that's a... What?
That's a
sports
team, right?
Yeah. But I thought there was another team also that he...
That
Okay, he owns a lot of things. Okay, and he likes sports apparently.
He's got a lot of money.
He has a lot of money. What's he worth?
A lot. 51.2 billion.
Yeah. So he's a rich Jew, and how does he get so rich? Because he makes his money charging interest, right? That's what, it's free money. So anyway, they would always put out these advertisements, and, you know, people would be like, ooh, that's terrible, but, like, I'm 15 years into a 30-year mortgage, like, it's not no gay on me, right? When would people find out? They'd go over to their friends in shul, they'd say, oh, I just got a great deal refinancing a mortgage, or I'm buying a house, just got a great deal. Oh, really? Where'd you get a great deal? Quicken Loans. Oh, you should know. So people would always find out, like, a day too late, right? Because that's when they're talking about a mortgage. It's not right before they get it. It's right after they get it. So they don't. So it's an absolute disaster. A number of rabbanim got involved in trying to work out a heteriska. A number of gedolei harabbanim got involved in trying to work out a heteriska. And ultimately, they failed the first time they tried, and then ultimately they succeeded. And they realized that this is big. So you can't just get like some rabbi that says the heterisk is good enough. They needed to line up all the Gedolei Torah, and everyone had to be on board. So they went to Rav David Feinstein, Zichron Levracha, and they went to Yibad Al-Chaim Shlomo Miller in Toronto, and they went to all the Hasidic Shapaiskim. I don't think they came to Yeshiva, but you know they wanted to make sure that they got the right Nerushmal Kamenetsky and all the others. So in the discussions with Rav David, the following issue came up. You see, it used to be if you took a 30-year mortgage, you pay the same bank for 30 years. So every year, you're at Greenpoint Savings Bank, right? And then you pay your whatever it is, whatever the mortgage payment is, until you finish. And then when you finish paying the mortgage, you make a kiddush or whatever. Fine. Now, that's not how it works. Now there are loan originators. And then Quicken Loans does a mortgage and sells it almost immediately. Usually in a matter of days from the time of the loan, they sell it to another financial institution. For whatever reason. That's how they make their money. They don't hold on to any loans. They're not interested in any loans. This system is what led to the financial collapse in the early 2000s. Because Quicken Loans had no motivation, Lavdafko Quicken Loans, but these kinds of mortgage work had no motivation to make sure you could actually pay your mortgage, because you weren't going to pay them anyway. They just had to make it look good enough that someone else would be willing to buy the mortgage from them, take it off their hands, and they could cook the books or whatever, make it look good enough that someone else will buy it from them, and someone else would buy this irresponsible mortgage. That was their problem, but they're not the ones who lent the money in the first place. So that's what led to the whole, okay, but we don't, now's not time for a finance class. So the shaila came up. They keep it for a couple of days, but the way the mortgages work is that the first month's interest you don't pay. It's deducted from the original loan, which means that you don't really need a heterisco with Quicken Loans, because they're never going to pay. You're not going to pay interest with Quicken Loans. That's never going to be the deal. But there are still problems associated with making such a deal, because your deal with them is that they're going to be your shliach to find you a lender. So the way that the heteriska is written is that you make Quicken a shliach to get a loan from a guy, and you now have a loan with the new people, with that new guy, with that new, not a guy, but a financial institution. So Rav David was concerned with relying on the idea that the people they sell to are goyim, meaning once you've taken Dan Gilbert out of the picture, so now you have goyim, so that's fine. As long as they're not Jews, you don't have a problem of ribbis. But Quicken won't tell you who they're selling it to. And your bills that you get every month will still say Quicken on it, because they're a servicing company. That's what they do. So Rav David said, I rove goyim, so can't you rely that rove of the companies that do this are non-Jewish, so can't you rely on the rove? He said, it's kavur. It should be a safik daraisa l'chumna. That was his concern. Now, if a bank comes to me, the whole inyan of kavur and parish is like the Gemara gives the example, right? That if a woman was mezana and she doesn't know who she was mezana with, so can she marry a kohen? Do we know if she was a nivela l'pasala, she's not allowed to marry a kohen? If she was nivela l'kashala, even though it's not a nice thing to do, but she's allowed to marry a kohen. So if she doesn't know who she was mezana with, so what does the Gemara say? It depends. If she went to his dormitory, it's always in college, if she went to his dormitory, so then it's kavua, kol kavua kamechza nechzadami. If he went to her room, then it's parish, kol the parish mirupa parish. So she's going to be usher to a kohen if she went to his dorm room. If he went to hers, then there's no, statistically, it doesn't make any sense, but that's the halacha, Right? So if a bank comes to me, it's called the parish. If I go to a bank, it's called kavua. But nobody goes anywhere nowadays. You sit by your computer and you click. Then the next thing you know, there's no one brings you a check. It's just the money goes into your account. You're not going anywhere. So the money is electronically transferred. So if a bank or a lending company is nicker b'makomo, it would be kavua. If even b'makomo, it would not be nicker. I would walk into their offices, the mortgage lender, and I wouldn't know if they're Jewish. And I wouldn't easily be able to find out, then it wouldn't even be nicker b'mekomo, and therefore it wouldn't be kavua. So this is machlokas aposkim. What happens if something is nicker, but only one or two people know? Meaning it's nicker, but not readily nicker. Like you might have someone, if the only people that know are people that don't have nemanos, then nobody knows. right? But Nikar B'Mekomo means that there's somebody that knows. So somebody, is that somebody available to me, not available to me? So exactly how we're magdir, what's called Nikar, is a very very critical issue, l'chora. For example, there's a guy that we don't know if he's Jewish or not, and he's mezana with a woman, and we want to know if she's mutaris l'kuna. So the person is parish, so you could assume that he's not Jewish. But if it's nikar where he came from, then it's kavua. So what if there's echad b'sof ha'olam that knows that the guy is Jewish? So you can investigate the Judaism. So the place he holds, that's called kavua and nikar b'mekomo. If anybody knows, that's called nikar b'mekomo. The Prima Gadim, in his introduction to kavua over here, seems to hold like the place as well. However, rov minyan obinyan shel poskim say there can't be. Chavetz Das and Chachos Adam and Chazanish, Ramesha and Arachayim Aleph Kufayin Ches, they all disagree, and they say nikar b'mekom means easily nikar. Chachos Adam says it can't be that if somebody knows anywhere. He says if one person says I know a mamzeres somewhere in the world, then it should turn out everybody in the world is usher to everybody, because kol kavo kamechsa mechsa damiens nikar b'mekom. Meaning it's not shaykh that one person's knowledge is going to answer everything. So it's the Chacham Sadam says, it would turn out in Bina Sadamos Beis, he says it has to be that makiru b'fenenu v'roi ilis galos, that you could look and you could find out. So a lot of these unknown lending companies, somebody knows about it, but it's not easily found out about. So if a guy, you know, when it's a guy that owns the Cavaliers and half of Detroit, so everybody knows about him. So everyone knows that he's a Jew. So that would be called nikar b'mekomo. But if you have a situation where it's some unidentified lending company, one might argue that's called not nikar b'mekomo, because it's not easily found out. These companies, they don't want the borrowers, for whatever reason, to deal directly with them. That's why they have the servicing company. That's why they have quick loans involved. They're not interested in dealing with people. So it would take a lot to figure it all out. So, and to figure out who owns it and where they're from, and is their mother Jewish and whatever. It's not so pashut. So it could be that that's called the parish merubah parish, and therefore it could be that as long as you make sure that you're not borrowing the money from Quicken, you're making Quicken your shliach to borrow the money from somebody else, it could be that that would be mutter. Tosus in Gittin talks about it. They made an egla rufa, so they went to a nachaleisan, and then once you have a nachaleisan, you're never allowed to plant there. So Tosus says, wait a second, it should be also to plant in any valley in Eretz Yisrael, because kol kavo kamech sal mech sadami. I know most valleys in Eretz Yisrael are not a nachaleisan, but some are. So kol kavo kamech sal mech sadami. Elamai, it's not nikar b'mekomo. Tos says it needs to be nikar b'mekomo. And since nobody knows where the nachaleisan is, you go back to following a rov. At one point they knew, but when they knew there was no safek, since there was a leidas ha-safek, then nobody knew. It was we went into Gullus and we forgot everything. In between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, 50 years, no Jews in Eretz Yisrael. After Bayis Sheni, a lot more, Jews leaving and forgetting everything. So we didn't know. So if nobody knows, when the suffix arises, that's not called nikar b'mekomo. So mela, it's going to be called the parish meru parish, even though it's you can't have something more kavua than karka. A nachaleisan, you would think that's the most kavua thing in the world. Just because it's stationary, it doesn't make it kavua, right? There's a yisod gadol. Yisod gadol. Being in one place is not what makes it kavua. It needs to be nikar b'mekomo in order to be kavua. Right? That's Rabbi Willig always talks. And if you ever look at the video of the Mechiras Chametz, they're going around now because John Brown just passed away. I don't know why it took us till a month after he passed away to find out that he passed away. Like all the stories say, he passed away on February 6th. But so Rabbi Will used to love dealing with John Brown, Mr. Brown. First of all, he dealt with him since 1976, I think it was, or 77 or something like that. And John Brown was a real estate guy. So he understood real estate. And Rabbi Willig is very into that because Kinyan Agav and all the Kinyanim are leasing the space, and to understand the value of real estate, what makes real estate different. So we'd always make a big deal about it's real estate. It's, that's as strong as you can get. Yeah, but in Hilchos Kavua, it's not always Kavua necessarily.
Regarding the definition of Nikar B'mekomo, Isn't all of that idea? Because it seems like the Bali Chaim case is like using a different definition of Nikkur Mekomo.
What do you mean?
Like the Reuven Kama Flokas, where you have a bunch of animals together on the shortest skull.
Right.
So that's not about your idea per se. It's more about whether you're thinking Bazel or not.
Oh, okay. So when it comes to Bittel, that opens up a whole different discussion. Meaning, yeah, there's Kavua Midaraisa and Kavua Midrabanan, and when it comes to Bittel, that's going to be the Drabanan issue. So,
weren't they using Nicker? They were using Nicker in that case. They have Nicker, not Nicker. Not that meant in terms of like Nicker Ha'is, or not in terms of like a Dias or something.
I'm not sure I'm not following the difference.
Like, I thought that Nicarais doesn't relate to the idea of something. It relates to that thing's like static, like continuous tabit is not necessarily contingent based on your idea. More about just like whether that thing.
No, that's inherent to the item being
exactly.
Chutzibur,
so I thought that's what you're using Nicarais for.
No, we'll get to how it deals with Bittel, not today, but soon, hopefully. But that's, I think it's a different discussion. Okay, so comes along the Shach, Sivkat Nidalin. Now this Shach is a little bit of background. Might be from L.A. So in Los Angeles in 2013, this Shach was what saved the day for a lot of people. Familiar with what happened in Los Angeles in 2013? In Los Angeles in 2013, there was a major meat supplier. On Erev Pesach, it was discovered that one of the main suppliers of kosher meat they found on video, they caught him schlepping in 8 pallets of non-kosher meat, of trefa meat. And timing being what it is, they discovered this the day before Erev Pesach. So everyone had ordered their meat for Pesach, everyone had bought their meat for Pesach. So the day before Erev Pesach, 2:30 in the afternoon, the Rabbanim in Los Angeles discovered that all this trefa meat was brought into this place. So this place has like 70 pallets of kosher meat, and 8 of non-kosher meat, they think. You know, like who knows, right? What else he snuck in there? But that's that was the situation. So Rabbi Bess, who's a Chashuv Rav in Los Angeles, didn't want to take this on his own. So there's a Jew in Los Angeles who happens to be very, very connected to Rabbi Belsky, and has a very quick access. So he called up his shver. Rechnitz reached out to Rebelsky, and Rebelsky said, whatever was purchased before 3 o'clock on Erev Pesach is kosher, whatever on Erev Pesach is kosher, whatever is purchased afterwards is treif. Nothing changed at 3 o'clock. They just saw the video evidence from what happened a month earlier at 3 o'clock. What changed at 3 o'clock? So, you talk about a psak that's tamua l'rabin. You know, people thought that this is just such a weird psak. What kind of thing? Who cares whether 3 o'clock didn't mean it? That's when they got around. That's when the Rabbanim gathered together and saw the video and said, okay, we got to take away Ashkacha. Well, but nothing changed at that time. So what's the story with 3 o'clock? So everyone was like, it was very confused by this. And usually when people are confused, I'm not to express opinions about complicated sugyas of Belsky's making it up out of thin air. So it was based on the shachs of Kotin Yedalit, is the whole 3 o'clock thing. So let's take it slow. So the shach brings 3 different cases, each mentioned by a different rishon. He has a ra'ah, a rashba, and a ran. The ra'ah and the rashba, according to the shach, do not disagree with each other. They just happen to talk about different cases. The ran disagrees with the ra'ah and the rashba. Okay, so let's see what the cases are. Mechabrin Siv Gimel again discusses the easy case. Kavua is you went into a store and you bought meat and you don't know which store you went into, but it was known the entire time which stores were kosher, which stores were not kosher, and you just were in a daze and you walked into possibly Good Wok instead of Wok Tov or whatever, and you just don't know. You don't know which store you happen to have gone into. That's a Suffolk in the Chanuyos, and the Chanuyos are Kavua, the stores are Kavua. And find meat in the street, that's called the Parsha Meru Parsha. Those are easy. Comes along the Shach, and he says, the Ra'ah in Bedek Abayis says that Hu Adin, 10 kosher stores, all Muchsuk to be kosher. and you bought from one, and you don't remember which one, because why would you have to remember? They're all kosher. Everything in town is kosher. And then, achar kach, nisbar lanu, she'echad mechanei yoselu, had basar nevela. You thought it was kosher. Then you found out, that's a more common case, unfortunately. Then you found out that they were selling nevelas. But you don't know if you went to that store. So says the Rav, it's aser. Because that's not called the parish mirub. The parish is considered kavua. Because the question is not on the meat itself, the question is on which store I bought it in. Nothing new happened when I realized that one of the stores is treif. Because I thought they were all mutter, but a goy milsa l'mafreya, that they aren't mutter. So the Ra is saying that just like if I go shopping and nine say kosher and one says treif, and then I don't know where I bought it, we say kol kavua. So the same is true if all 10 had kosher signs on it, and then the next day I find out that one was really treif. So it was really treif the whole time, so that's also kavua. Meaning, the klal of kavua and pirish, called the pirish, is not only about meat, but it's about a taruvus of chanuyos that's also kavua d'oraisa. That's Lashon of the Chavz Das when he describes this ra'ah. That there's a taruvus of chanuyos that also is considered to be a kavua on a d'oraisa level. Meaning, so I go back now and I say, even though at the time that I bought it, I thought they were all kosher. Now that I found out that one was treif, it was treif the whole time, and it's just my suffix is about which store it was. So the stores are now kavua, and therefore I could look at it right now and say my suffix is about the stores, and those stores are all kavua right now. So therefore it's considered called kavua, because my suffix is not about the meat, it's about the stores, and the stores are all kavua.
Where does chazaka come into play?
What do you mean?
As in, let's say you bought it with a chayes kashkashus.
Yeah. But the chazak is based on this reality, right? Meaning.
Yeah, but at the time.
We're saying that there's a.
No matter what, it had a chayes kashkashus.
But now there's like a major race on the chazakah, because now we know that one of your potential suppliers, right, is not kosher.
And that'll still be the chazakah.
Yeah, I think so. Right? So that's the ra'ah. That's the case of the Ra. So the case of the Ra is, again, I went to a store, all the stores in town were kosher. Next day I found out one of the stores was not kosher. It's not exactly the case of Los Angeles, right? We're not there yet. The Rashba in Mishmeres HaBayis qualifies the Ra, but it's not arguing on the Ra, at least the way the Shach understands it. So the Shach writes, Va'af HaRashba v'Mishmeres HaBayis modelo b'zeh. He agrees to what the Ra says. Rashba says, I know where I bought the meat, but it's still a suffix because we found out that one of the kosher butcher stores had non-kosher meat. Meaning, I know exactly which store I went to, I just don't know which store had non-kosher meat. So, right, that's the case of the Rashba. A little different than the Ra'ah. Meaning the Ra'ah's case, I don't know where I went, so I have a suffix b'chanuyos. So that suffix is called kavok mechzal mechzadami. The Rashba's case, I know exactly where I went. I go to the same butcher shop every time. One of them had non-kosher meat, and I don't know which one had non-kosher meat. I just know that, how do you have such a echitim? So one of them had non-kosher meat. So there's a shachtes, right, where they shecht all the animals. So they're shechting, and they're doing kosher shechita, and they send on trucks and deliver to all 10 stores in the 5 towns, Teaneck, whatever, to all the 10 stores. And then the next day, around the shachtos, the mashgiach is giving hilchos treifas course. So they kept around some of the lungs and the livers and whatever, you know, and brains and whatever it is that they kept around to look for. Normally, you only look in lungs, and they start looking at the lungs, and they start let's say the lungs. They say, oh, look at that! There's a treifa here. All the meat was already delivered. I don't know which animal did that lung belong to. I have no idea which animal that lung belonged to. All I know is it went out to the store. So I shucked the 10 animals. I sent, you know, an animal to one to each store. So one of these stores was selling the basar nevela. And I know which store I went to. I just have no idea if that was the one that got the basar treifa. So you would think that it's the same as the case of the Ra'ah, right? You would think that it sounds very similar, so says Rashi, but no, it's not the same. In the case of the Ra'ah, I know which store is treif, and I just don't know where I went shopping. In the case of the Rashba, I don't know which store is the treif of meat. Statistically, they're the same case. Halachically, they're very different. The Rashba is going to serve as the basis for the 3 o'clock idea when we get there. Meaning the Los Angeles case. So the Rashba says in the Chumra that if you don't know which store it is, it's Kavua. And the Rashba adds a Kula that if you know which store but didn't know that it wasn't kosher, that it was selling something that was not kosher, then it's considered called the Parsh Menu Parsh. But you also see a little bit of a Chumra from the Rashba, that there's a distinction between what's still in the store, which is Aser, and what's already brought from the store, which is Mutter. Meaning, the Rashba says, yeah, I bought it, and I know which store I bought it from, I just don't know if that store had Basar Trefa in it or not. I'll call the Parish Minu Parish. But says the Rashba, the meat that's still in those 10 stores, throw it all out. That's called Kavok Mechza Mechzadam. That's how the Rashba at least implies. That is problematic. And we're going to come back to that. Why is that problematic? What's the Rashba saying? Why is that problematic? You know, what did he say? I bought from a store. I know exactly which store I went into. I just don't know which store had the tray for meat. So the meat that I have now is called the Parish Merubah Parish. Why is it called the Parish Merubah Parish? It's not Nikar B'Mekobo. There's no Kavua. Right? But the meat that's still in the stores, that's called Kavua Kamechsa Mechsadam. Why in the world should the meat in the stores be called Kavua Kamechsa Mechsadam? It's not Nikar B'Mekobo B'Chol. Right? The only place it was Nikar was when they originally shechted it. But it's not Nikar B'Mekobo, so we're going to have to come back to that. But that's how the Rashba seems to say. Then there's the Ran. And the Ran really is the easiest to understand, and if you're passing straight like the Ran, the Los Angeles Shaila is not a Shaila. If you're just passing like the Ran, then you're good. The Ran says that in Perikid Anasha, that a new rule. He quotes a Tosos that something is only Kavua when the Isser was known before you went shopping. Avalim lo noda Isser b'sha'a she'lakach. If when you went shopping, that Isser was as of yet unknown, you didn't know the Isser at the time that you went shopping, then af al pi sha'achar she'lakach nisgale Isser v'nasa kavua, even though it became nisgale afterwards, and it became kavua, we don't view it as kavua l'mefreya. In order to bring it back to the moment that I went shopping, that requires kavula mefreya. We don't say kavula mefreya. Any case that you find out later, you're not going to say kol kavula kamechsal mechsadami. There's no kavula mefreya. Someone is lokach basar from store thinking it was kosher, then you find out that there's a problem, automatically mutter. Because at the time that you bought it, it wasn't kavua. Where does he get this idea? He can't say kavula mefreya, but right now it's kavua. So he says, no, kol kavula kamechsal mechsa is a chiddush. And there's a principle in halacha, ein lecha bo el mishas chidusha ve'elach. Just like you have a principle, ein lecha bo el chidusha, you can't expand the chidush beyond what it's originally said. You also have a principle, ein lecha bo el mishas chidusha ve'elach. And the Ran says, I'm not saying this on my own, it's a tosfos, we don't have that tosfos, but he says it's a tosfos. And the Shach claims that the Torah holds this way also like the Ran. So you have the Ran, potentially a Tosfos, potentially a Tur, that there's no such thing as Kavula Mefreya. So the Ra'ah and the Rashba disagree. They sometimes do say Kavula Mefreya. They're dealing with a different case, right? If you don't remember which store you shopped at, but one store was known to be treif the entire time, so we say Kavula Mefreya. But the Ran holds, no, you wouldn't. If I don't remember which store I shopped at, then you would never say Kavula Mefreya. The concept of Ein Lechabo El Mishas Chidusho, we know from Sanhedrin, Edom Zom Mekan El Abam, you know, with the Apostle or El Mefreya, it's one of the Al-Kagam. Sanhedrin Chavzayin, right? Something like that. So we use the Ran as a tziruf, generally, but we don't paskin straight like the Ran. Because Chacham Hazadim quotes it as Yesh Omen. But if you were to paskin like the Ran, then Los Angeles is solved, right? Because the Kavua would only start from 3 o'clock on Erev Pesach. So whatever was purchased before 3 o'clock, that would be kavul mafreg. We don't say kavul mafreg, called the parsh mirub parsh. It would be easy. Not super easy, because you also still have to believe that that was the rove. I don't know how they knew, you know, exactly what was brought into that store and what wasn't, but that's Shlav Aleph of Rebelsky's psak. You have to realize Rebelsky was asked this on Erev Pesach. He couldn't like chazer over all the sukkahs, you know, like they needed an answer like achshav.
Since we said that for the Ron, the reason of the Imbola Fidusha is why he says no Kabul of Freya. Could we say for the Rashba and the Ra'a, maybe that for them, Kabul is not like the Kiddush, Kabul is like the Stam assumption? I mean, whenever there's a suffix, there's a Tarovest that like we shouldn't really be able to touch it at all, and then Rove would be more of like the Kiddush.
Really? Why? Well, I would just, I would think Rove is statistical, Kabul is not.
Right, meaning in theory you have, you know, 9 pieces of kosher meat, one piece of non kosher meat, so there's this right there, I should never be able to touch it. Meaning, there's a
10%
chance that there's this there.
Yeah, but the Torah says Acher meaning a
right,
Chiddush.
But I'm saying, meaning which one's the Chiddush?
Yeah, so Rav Shachter writes in the Eretz HaTzvi, a very big cloud, based on Tosos says it, Shachter quotes it, that a Chiddush is defined as a Dover HaSoser as a cloud. It doesn't mean something that we would find troubling or illogical, that there are Klalim in Torah, and anything that fits within those Klalim is not a Chiddush. When something goes against the klal, and then it's a chiddush. So the klal is acharav nahatos, and that's what we normally always assume.
Mm-hmm.
However uneasy it makes us to know that there's trefa meat there, right? But the klal is acharav nahatos. I mean, if you think about it, Rebelsky's psak, there must have been people that bought meat before 3 o'clock that ate nevelos, like that which was physically nevela that year. But the halach is that you follow it up.
Yeah, why are we quicker to say that about rule? Both of those, I mean, we learned both that from Sukkot. So why do we assume that Rove is the rule and Kavu? I mean, in the Ron's clearly doing that Kavu is the exceptional case, and therefore Imbo El Chidusha. But by Rove, we're totally comfortable saying, like, statistically, 9 out of 10 chance.
So you're saying Mehechitesi that it's a Chidush?
Yeah, I mean both, neither one of them has to really be a Chidush. Meaning, it could be that we simultaneously, not simultaneously, but in some cases, we'll view it as, like, there's this or here, and I can't, you know, I can't touch this
title
of S, and then
another
case is no,
right?
No,
no. Mm. I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
And Rebbe definitely hinted at this, but I mean, there's no way this was the first guy. This guy has first time this guy has done this.
Right.
Why are we not taking that into account?
So maybe we do. Maybe we do. The belief was for people to only sell nevelos and trefas when there's ashkach on the store is kimat impossible. Usually the way they do it, no. It's impossible to pull off. Meaning, it's not that he's not willing to do it. It's impossible to pull off. I think the guy in Muncie was mostly selling kosher stuff. He just was also selling, Muncie people. He was just also selling non-kosher. Because it's impossible, because the mashgichim need to see the receipts and see the deliveries coming in. So LMI, they sneak in a few extra deliveries at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're not looking. Like we've had in Hashkacha that there was a store that used a lot of a particular product, or should have been using based on their sales, a lot of a particular product. And based on the deliveries, it didn't seem that they were getting that much of the particular product. So something smelled, so we had to do a whole audit and install cameras and everything. We ended up not catching them. They didn't do anything. As far as we know, they didn't do anything wrong other than skimp on that product. Meaning, you know, they had, it's hard to say without the example, but they were selling a 215 anyway.